Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Shaiowitz, and today we'll be learning Yeshayahu Parakei. Parakei contains the famous Mashal HaKerem, the parable of the vineyard. And this is Yeshayahu's last-ditch effort to inspire the people to change their society. And he doesn't rely on the previous strategies that he used, such as straight-out Musar or future visions. Instead, he uses a different strategy, which is to talk about something unrelated, engage the audience in that way, and only once they've already become engaged in the story, then bring them back in to make the connection. Now, this strategy has been used by other prophets. One of the famous examples is Natan HaNavi, who came to David HaMelech after his sin with Bathsheba and after he sent her husband Uriah into war. And instead of berating him about that particular story, instead, Natan tells a different story about a rich man who steals from a poor man. And in the end, David, not realizing that he's actually giving a parable to his own situation, recognizes the guilt of the rich man who stole from the poor man, and even implying that his verdict should be death. And once Natan turns to him and says, "Atah ha'ish, you are the person. This whole parable is actually about you." Only then does David say, "Oh, chatati la'Hashem, I have sinned to God." And being able to step out of his own situation and see this from a different perspective is what allowed him to self-reflect and come to that conclusion. So in this case, Yeshayahu also goes to that type of strategy. And he tells a story of a farmer working in a vineyard. And he describes all the steps that the farmer takes to grow the vineyard by preparing the land, removing the stones that are in the ground, using those stones to build a protective fence around the vineyard, planting only the best seeds. And here the farmer has an equation. If the farmer puts everything in place, all the steps in place to receive the best, the healthiest, the most juicy and developed grapes, then that is exactly what will result. But then that's actually not what happens. And we'll read just for a few psukim. I'm going to look at Pasuk Gimel. And in Pasuk Gimel, Yeshayahu now turns to the people. And I want you to remember, just as we're reading this, that these people are people who live in an agricultural society. So this is something that resonates with them, putting in a lot of effort and not always seeing the result that goes along with it. So in Pasuk Gimel, Yeshayahu says, "Va'ata, Yoshev Yushalayim v'ish Yehuda, shiftuna b'ni u'bein karmi. You, people of Jerusalem, judge between me and my vineyard. Mala asot ola karmi velo asiti bo." Right? What else could I do for my vineyard that I haven't already done? Madua kiviti lasot anavim leyas biushim. Why did I hope to make grapes and instead I only yielded wild grapes? But then instead of turning to the people for judgment, Yeshayahu does something strange. He discusses what his verdict would be. And he says, "Va'ata odiyanatchem et asher ani oseh lekarmi. Let me tell you what my plan is. What will I do for my vineyard?" And then he goes on to explicate exactly what he'll do to take down and destroy the vineyard, beginning with destroying the fence that surrounds it so that animals can come in and eat what's there, making decisions not to prune it, not to hoe it, allowing it to be overgrown with thorns. And finally, he says something that already will trigger the audience to realize this is no normal situation. "Va'al ha'avim atzaveh mehamtir alav matar." I'll command the clouds to no longer rain on my vineyard. And clearly, that's already indicating that Hashem is involved in this situation. And that's when he finally pulls the rug out from under them and says, "Ki cherem Hashem tzvaot be'Israel." The vineyard of God is the people of Israel. "Ve'ish Yehuda natasha shuav." And the people of Yehuda, those are the ones that were planted the most carefully, the most lovingly. "Vayikavu mishpat." And therefore, Hashem hoped for justice. He hoped for a just society that would represent him. "V'hine mispach." And instead of that, injustice, corruption. "Litzdaka." He hoped for kindness. He hoped for people who would reach out and make sure that everybody had food, a place to live, friends, people who are there for them. And instead, V'hinei tza'aka, there are cries. And cries are always cries of those who are vulnerable. Following this parable, the second part of the perek, which is more than half of the psukim, but there's a clear break here, is followed by a few short sections where Yeshayahu laments the people of Israel, who have, and specifically here, the people of Yehuda, who have pursued, again, their materialism, their self-actualization, even hedonism, and discusses, really foretells for them, the way that all the structure that they've built will fall apart. So each of these sections begins with the word hoy. And the word hoy is a fun word because it actually means exactly like it sounds. It sounds like the word oy. And that's really what Yeshayahu is doing. He is saying oy for these people who have done this, and this is what will happen to them. So let's just look at a few of these examples. First, in Pasuk Chet, verse 8, Yeshayahu discusses people who add one house to their next house and one field to their next field until they've totally crowded out the land that no one has space to live. And he discusses how all these people who built these great houses, their land will ultimately be destroyed. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, he discusses Hoy Mashkimei Vavoker She'echar, people who wake up early and chase after liquor all day, and how this lack of knowledge and the lack of like real introspection that comes by being fully immersed in drinking, partying, hedonism, how ultimately they also will not foresee the ends that come to them. One more example appears in Pasuk Chaf, where Yeshayahu says, Hoy ha'omrim la'ra tov v'la tov ra, right? Oy, or woe is it to the people who call evil good and good evil. Samim choshech la'or v'or la'choshech, right? They present darkness as light and light as darkness. Samim mar la'matok, they present bitterness as sweetness, umatok la'mar, and sweetness as bitterness. And here, this is probably understood as kind of the confusion that they, and perhaps even we sometimes, so often look at life with a certain type of confusion, because we look at life always from our own shoes. And in our own shoes, there are many, many rationalizations. And here, the negative that people are doing, they don't recognize it. And the negative they see as positive. And things that would actually be a positive initiative, such as here building an ethical society, they find negative reasons not to pursue this. And again, he foretells the way that this will fall apart on them. And he closes the parak by discussing Hashem and the way that Hashem will come in order to punish them. And I want to just end by looking at Pasuk Chav Hei, verse 25, where Yeshayahu foretells exactly how Hashem will present himself and how he'll punish the people. Al kein chara'af Hashem ba'amo, v'yeit yado alav, v'yakehu, v'yirgizu ha'arim, v'tehi nivlatam kisucha bekerv chutzot, b'chol zot, lo shav apo, v'od yado netuya. And this is why Hashem's anger was still roused against his people. This is why Hashem still stretched out his arm against the people to attack it, so that the mountains quaked and corpses or dead bodies lay like refuse in the streets, and his anger has not turned back, and his arm is outstretched still. Now, I want to just note that here the language that the Pasuk is using is actually language that was used before for very positive events. For example, Yirgzu Ha'arim, the mountains are trembling. Well, at the time of Yitziat Mitzrayim, many things were trembling. People were trembling. Nations were trembling. Nature was trembling. But here, what they're trembling over is not the destruction of Egypt, but the destruction of the Jews. And so too, Hashem is described here as someone whose his hand, his yad, is nituya, it's stretched out, reminding us of the zroa nituya, Hashem's outstretched arm at the time of Yitziat Mitzrayim. There his arm was outstretched to save Bnei Israel. And here in this case, his arm is outstretched to punish them. And I think borrowing that language from Yitziat Mitzrayim, from the exodus of Egypt, is very powerful. Because while the hand of Hashem was outstretched at that time to save the Jewish people, that was because they were being exploited and enslaved by the Egyptians. So his arm was outstretched to save Bnei Israel and to punish the Egyptians. But here, in this case, it's Bnei Israel who are accused of enslaving, exploiting, not looking out for those who are vulnerable. And therefore, instead of the arm being outstretched to save them, here Hashem's arm is outstretched to punish them. And in truth, there's a certain type of equity here where there is a universal moral standard, and Hashem's hand will be outstretched, and his desire is to outstretch it to build us up. But if our actions don't warrant that, then that hand can also be outstretched to punish us. This is the way the parak ends. It ends in a very sad and difficult way. And we'll continue tomorrow. There will be more uplifting pieces tomorrow, but we'll continue tomorrow with parak Vav. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.